Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. In today's episode, we're going to talk with Ian Boyd, the X's and O's expert of Inside Texas. He breaks down the game film every week for the Longhorns. And really, we're going to, since it's a bye week, we're going to ask Ian some larger questions, I think, that need to be addressed. And that's, you know, why is Texas having these issues in the second half of football games on offense? And the run defense for the Longhorns has been problematic in the second half as well. So that's going to be the basis of our discussion today. But I don't want to just leave it to where we're only talking about the problems. I also want to ask Ian about what he thinks are the potential solutions and maybe what Steve Sarkisian and his staff might be doing. And I think he has some inklings to that based on his film study as well. So let's go ahead and get in it and bring Ian Boyd of Inside Texas into the show. Welcome, Ian.
Hey, Bobby. It's good to be on.
Good.
Nice weather here in Michigan.
There you go.
I'm thinking about doing it as it gets colder, just adding layers so you see me like in a parka at some point or
Well, so be it. That's a beautiful background. So you've been watching the Longhorns on film all year for us and have done a great job, in my opinion, of trying to explain it to people that aren't necessarily as with it on X's and O's as you are. And you do a nice job with the graphics that you create. But I want to ask you, you know, really what I think every Texas fan wants to know: what has happened to the Texas offense in the second half? And what has happened to the Texas defense in the second half of the last two games?
I think they're definitely connected. I think Sark has been trying to say as much in his pressers, trying to get a little bit of the pressure off the defense and take some of the responsibility on offense, which I think is right. 2 weeks in a row, they defended 82 plays and only ran 60. There's not just that huge disparity, but there's also the fact that it's all coming in the second half as the game wears on. So I agree with him that you can't expect any defense to hold up that long, playing that many snaps back to back to back, that many drives. Maybe an elite defense would play better than Texas. Texas is not an elite defense, but I do think they're a little better than they've looked because of that. As for the offense, you can't help but notice there's a little bit of the, I don't know if people remember this, but back in the Sean Watson days in 2014, Texas would come out, run their opening script and look kind of competent, maybe get some points on the board early on. And then they'd run off, run out the script and have to start, adjusting and reaching around for something. And they just couldn't find anything. This offense kind of looks like that. It's obviously a much, much, much better version than that, but there's still that dimension to it. You can see plays where they tried to run a play action and Casey Thompson looks and he doesn't like what he sees and he's not sure what to do. They had a lot of RPOs they tried to run against Oklahoma State that went wrong for really a variety of reasons. I don't know. I think some of it is that they are struggling to adjust and they're struggling to play off script. If they don't have something well orchestrated and coordinated for Casey Thompson, and they have to just go out and beat something that's been prepared specifically for them and adjusted for them, it seems like they have problems.
I agree with you. And that's something that I brought up, I think, earlier in the week. It's just, it feels like the first half of what we see for the Longhorns offense is way different than what we see in the second half. Is part of that to do with the competency of the Texas offense at this point, the players on the Texas offense to adjust, the lack of experience at quarterback, whether it be Thompson or Card, right? Because neither of them have a ton of experience. What is that all combined with to really bring about that sort of thing? It may go beyond X's and O's here, but that's kind of my thinking is what is the idea there?
I think there are some parts that go beyond X's and O's. It seems like that offense was really struggling at the end of the game, especially once they had to shuffle Kerstetter in to the center, you know, for the last series. I mean, they just looked totally beat. They looked mentally beat. And if you go watch that 3rd-and-1 play, I don't know if a single offensive lineman won his block, nor Cade Brewer. Cade Brewer gets whipped around the edge by Brock Martin. Christian Jones olays some guy past him. Kerstetter gets tossed. It's a bad look. They just look beat. But that was much later in the game. They'd had a lot of failures before then. I think some of the X's and O's breakdowns are that I don't know that Casey's lack of experience is a problem. He generally seems reasonably poised, I would say. But he definitely is limited in terms of his arm strength and being able to push the ball outside. If you go for like freeze frame, second half possessions against either Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, you'll see they both have their safeties very, very deep in the middle of the field. They're not even out to the hash marks, much less beyond the hash marks. And they are both within 10 yards and they are reading flat footed when they're watching the initial action. So they're not backpedaling. They're staying shallow and they get there real fast when they read run. And there's just the only way to beat that is either to load up big bodies and run it anyway and just try to run them over, which is tough. But I actually kind of think they should have done that a lot more in both of the last two games. Or it's to throw the ball outside or over their heads. And Thompson is kind of gun shy about trying to put the ball over the top and over the middle. I think he struggles with the placement. I mean, most college quarterbacks would struggle with that placement, but Casey's pretty gun shy about it. And then when he's trying to throw outside, it's very, very hit or miss, even throwing, you know, bubble screens like we saw. Sometimes he doesn't lay it out there very well. So I think that limitation is a major X's and O's limitation on this offense, where the offense is designed to relieve pressure off of Bijan with play action shots down the field and RPO shots to the perimeter. And not just because of Casey, but for a variety of reasons, they have not been executing either of those most weeks.
So one of my questions there, Ian, is this. I mean, so I felt like Thompson was hampered by the thumb injury a little bit, like on that bubble in the fourth quarter to Xavier Worthy, that ball fluttered, you know. Yeah. It gave the defense more than enough time to make a you know, strong play. And so I wonder if that's part of it. My other thing, and you talk about solutions, right? And I feel like Thompson, whether it's because he's had a lack of time in the pocket, but he's not checking down to the backs nearly as much as he did in either against Rice or Texas Tech. And those led to some big plays. He seems to be just going through that first read and looking downfield and not taking the 3, 4, 5 yards that might be given him elsewhere.
That'd be really good to look into a little deeper. I'm a little hesitant. I wonder how much of that is just the fact that they have to leave the back end to protect, because they're not protecting well. There was a play that I put on Twitter. I made a GIF of on Twitter where he, I think actually it was that one where Malcolm Rodriguez just totally plowed into him. And somebody was like, hey, look, the tight end is wide open in the middle of the field. And it was like, yeah, he had no time to get to that read. He's like looking first read slot, double covered, outside to Worthy one-on-one, throws that one and can't even get it off because he's getting just crunched mid-throw. So, yes, third read, tight end is open, but he's not even getting there. It may be that he's a little bit floundered. I feel like he handles pressure reasonably well. He doesn't force balls unless, like the interception at the end of the game, you know, it's we got to get down the field. So I think he forced that and didn't read it very carefully. But most of the time, he'll take sacks over throwing picks, which I think is the right answer. He doesn't seem to respond very well when he throws a pick or a near pick. That really seems to bottle him up and make him very cautious. So I think he's handling the pressure well, which is good because it's coming pretty often and it's not going to stop coming with this offensive line. But he has definitely been a little bit gun shy about finding receivers.
So here's the next piece to you. What are the solutions then? You know, you mentioned one possibility of, okay, so maybe they just need to run up. Maybe they just need to stick with the run deeper even and just try to big body some people. I think they did that against TCU to some degree late in that game. And actually that's how they won that game really. But they neglected to do it or were unable to do it. Choose your, you know, whatever it was there against both Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. What do they do here now? I mean, other than, you know, making a decision of who you are, do you run more outside zone or inside zone? I mean, I don't know the answer. What do you think Sark's taking this bye week now and trying to evaluate as they move forward?
I think they're in a difficult philosophical position where I think Casey Thompson is more of a spread quarterback than he is a pro style guy. But if you run like 11 personnel with three receivers and spread the field, you are inviting the defense to load the box and force you to beat them outside. And so your quarterback necessarily has to become a primary playmaker for your team. And I don't think that's where they want to be. They want Bijan to be the primary playmaker. So I think they have to go into this bye week thinking, you know, we need to work on our 12 personnel. Maybe they need to experiment with 13 personnel and get Gunnar Helm or Jatavion Sanders or Juan Davis or whoever the next best, you know, blocking tight end is out on the field so that they can just kind of line up and say, we're going to run it. You know, we're going to run it, but that's okay because we have a hat for every defender. And just, you know, lean into Bijan down the stretch. I don't think they can get away with trying to spread teams out with Casey Thompson. There's a couple of defenses left on the schedule that are every bit as capable as Oklahoma State was of loading the middle of the field and playing really smart, disciplined football there. So how do you want to handle that? You know, Casey or Bijan? I think it has to be Bijan.
So who are those teams? Just for so everybody.
Yeah, Baylor, the next one on the docket, is good in the middle of the field. You know, Dave Aranda does a great job. They are disciplined. They were figuring out defense last year. They're better this year. They have good linebackers. They have a few good defensive linemen. They have a few good safeties. And they will disguise. They will make Casey prove he can throw outside. Their corners are not amazing, but honestly, neither were Oklahoma State's. So, and then that's another area. I kind of think they should have thrown it outside to Worthy more on a corner. Tried to get some easy yards on hitches or something underneath if they're playing soft. And then Iowa State, obviously. Iowa State has a terrific this is probably the best defense I've seen from Iowa State this year. I think in general that team is a whole lot better than everyone realizes because they had those two losses early in the year. But if you watch them, they are a terrific team. They might be better than Oklahoma. You know, we'll see. And that going into Ames against that defense, I think, is an absolute buzzsaw for this team if they don't get a lot better and figure some of these issues out. Because they have big linemen, they have big linebackers, they have hard-hitting safeties that are big. It's not going to be pretty if they don't adjust.
Gotcha. Okay. Not necessarily what Texas fans want to hear, but I think it's important that people understand that these problems aren't going to fix themselves, Texas has to be ready for that likelihood. And it's going to be interesting to see exactly what Steve Sarkisian attempts to do over the next 2 weeks, get ready for the next following 2 weeks of Baylor and then Iowa State and Ames. I look at this and then I mentioned the offense, and then you mentioned the complementary issue of the defense getting run over kind of in the second half of those games. What, you know, from your standpoint, Ian, what, you know, X's and O's wise strategically, what are the problems that you're seeing at Texas right now on defense?
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
I've probably been a little, not to make it fun, but I've probably been a little overly defensive of Kwiatkowski because I feel like he's been getting kind of a bad rap. I thought, you know, they had the big issue with Counter against Oklahoma where they couldn't stop that play, and that's very troubling. But even with that, if Caleb Williams doesn't pull those two miracle throws down the field to Marvin Mims out of his bag of tricks, then those are both third downs. Texas probably wins that game, maybe comfortably. I mean, it's Oklahoma. They have star quarterbacks. It's just what happens. But I think they're doing a lot of the things well. I thought they played well against Oklahoma State. Some of the busts against the run later in the game against Oklahoma State happened when they would get Sorrell on the field at end for Collins. And Devin Richardson at linebacker looked a little bit lost at times. Jalen Ford was really a revelation. He was terrific. I honestly think they're close to playing good defense of the style they want to play. I don't know if we'll see it fully realized this year or if it'll be next year. I'd say the biggest issues have been they've not been good enough at outside linebacker. They may have resolved that with Alfred Collins moving outside to Jack. He was very good against Oklahoma State. On review, you know, live, they were playing a lot of 3-4, so he's almost playing like a true defensive lineman more often than not. But when he was on the edge, he was pretty good as well. Certainly better in that role than Jett Bush, who I think is a good player, but just totally miscast for that role. He's too small to do some of the things they want to do there. So outside linebacker, I think, has not been what they want. They've not had the pass rush or the defense on the edges against the run that they want. But it might be turning a corner with Alfred Collins stepping in there. And really their best outside linebacker is probably, other than Collins, is probably Ovi. And he's pretty young, so I think he's still kind of figuring it out. I think there's upside there as he figures out that position. And then sometimes they have issues. They will play six in the box. The safeties are very deep. Everyone sees that. So they're not arriving very quickly. If they don't play the run really precisely with the front six, then they can get into trouble. I think Luke Brockermeyer has been pretty good this year, but he does struggle to get off blocks at times. And I thought Jalen Ford was actually an upgrade there. So I think down the road, Ford might replace Brockermeyer and bring an upgrade because he's just bigger and a little quicker. And he's hard to keep blocked. And then back at safety, it's been pretty mixed. They're spectators a lot back there with how deep they play. And I don't know. It's hard to gauge exactly. Sometimes their angles are not great. Sometimes their tackling is not great. But sometimes they're also covering long distances to get to the ball, and they're facing a guy with a two-way go. So it's been a tough position. Sometimes when you see, the only time you see them is when they're trying to cover up for a bad mistake, and then they look bad. And I don't know how much that's really on them. But I do think the safeties will get better as they get used to those angles. And they have some young guys like Jaron Thompson has been pretty good. And I wonder if Chris Adamora might bring an upgrade down the road as he gets more comfortable back there.
Let me ask you this. I mean, because here's part of the – I mean, I'm talking as a, you know, Texas fan, Oklahoma State's obviously running the ball down the field. Why would Texas – why would Kwiatkowski not – and this is the – like I'm not – Mr. X's and O's. I mean, I hope everybody understands that. But I also – so I recognize my limitation there. But I also recognize some things that just don't make sense. Why was Kwiatkowski in too high safety when Oklahoma State was literally going to do nothing but run the ball late in that game? There was no chance they were going to throw the ball there and risk an INT or even – a clock stoppage. Why would he stay in that defense? It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting. They actually didn't play that much too high in that game. They mostly played single high. They would bring a safety down so that because they're in a 3-4, two outside linebackers, and they wanted those outside linebackers working the edge. So most of the game they would drop one safety down, bring another one down so the linebackers could play on the edge. On that final Oklahoma State possession, and Joel Klatt noticed this live, right? He's like, why are they in two deep? And they were playing in two deep instead of the single high on the final Oklahoma State possession. Gave up a couple runs, right? And then the next play, plainly give up. Like, you rewatch it, it's obvious they're letting Oklahoma State score. And I don't know if they were I kind of wonder if they were letting them score that whole series or not. I don't know if that would make sense to do that. But Oklahoma State, close to field goal range. I don't know. They may have just been, we got to get the ball back. Stay back in too high. Just let this go. Or maybe they called it too high. They got, for some reason, I don't know why, they get busted. And then from there, they intentionally gave up. So I don't know. There may have been a little more to that last series than that may have been intentional, and I'm not totally sure. We can litigate it in the comments, perhaps.
Yeah, I don't believe that the first couple of plays of that drive were purposeful give up. The last one, I'm in complete agreement. I mean, I think everybody saw that the same way you did.
If you watch, so one of those two big plays before they give up. Paul put this on the website, that they take just baffling angles. Like, one linebacker just goes completely the wrong way. Foster takes a really bad angle from deep. Either they just had a mental breakdown where they were exhausted, or they had they might have had like Richardson or a young guy out there that just made a mistake. I think it's possible that they threw in the towel before that last play. I could be wrong. I don't know if that actually makes sense.
That's an odd take. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't, I'd have to go back and relook at that. So my thought process is that for whatever reason, the Texas safeties aren't, and we go around and around on this, the Texas safeties aren't making many plays, in my opinion. The Texas linebackers with Overshown were beat up. You think Alfred Collins was a revelation at the position. So that's one possible solution, right? And Texas did play really good defense for three quarters, in my opinion. And then the other one is maybe Jalen Ford. Is there any other, I was interested, other than Jalen Ford, which you mentioned, I was interested that Darian Dunn didn't see any playing time on Saturday, when I thought that he had been one of the more physical defensive backs that maybe could have been used in run support there. I just don't know.
Yeah, that was interesting. In our group chat, you mentioned that. And he's apparently healthy. He's practicing. They had Barron back. And Barron played a little bit, and he played well. Part of me wonders if they wanted to play Barron more than Dunn, because Barron has been very good in zone this year. He's had two very near interceptions playing deep in cover three, once against Louisiana. And then this week, people might remember, there's a play where Collins flattens Sanders after he throws it, and Barron comes in and almost picks it. Darian Dunn played press man at McNeese State and was exceptional at it. Seemed like a perfect fit for Chris Ash's defense. And then, they changed coordinators. And I think the word has been that adjusting to zone has been a little trickier for him. So it could have been just that they felt that Barron was a better fit for the game plan, because they're playing a lot of cover three to play the 3-4. Not totally sure, but that's just one possibility. They have a lot of corners on this team that can play. I think that's been a positive of this team that's been maybe overlooked. Everybody remembers the deep bombs they gave up to Texas Tech, but they defended the top receiver for Arkansas well. Treylon Burks had only 37 yards. They defended the top Louisiana guy pretty well. Quentin Johnson wasn't doing very much before he got knocked out against TCU. Jaden Hazelwood, Oklahoma's best outside receiver, did a lot of nothing. Marvin Mims hurt them, but mostly from the slot and on those two, you know, just insane NFL plays. And then they covered up Oklahoma State's guys, Tay Martin and Brennan Presley, really well. I think they're having a good season at corner, and it's, you know, but everybody talks about run defense. So
yeah, I was going to say it's going for naught right now, unfortunately. I mean, not entirely, but largely. You know, I want to sum up here, and you know, as we look forward, what do you, you know, boil all of this discussion down to a couple of key takeaways for me, okay? What do you think Texas has to do on both sides of the ball, whether it's find an identity? What are the things that you think they absolutely have to do so that they can start changing the outcome of some of these things, of some of these games?
I think on offense, they need to figure out how they want to handle teams loading up to stop Bijan in the second half. The Big 12 is a little bit unique in that opposing coaches are not going to – they're not going to lay down. They're not going to give up. They will do whatever it takes to extend possessions in their favor and get back in the game. You know, like everybody's – Mike Gundy has been here forever. He's used to playing these one-possession games that come down to the wire. And they will load up the box. They will not let you just run out clock with Bijan Robinson. It's not going to happen. So they need to figure out if they want to punish that by, like I said, getting more bodies in the trenches to run the ball anyway, or if they want to say, okay, if you're going to give us shots, we're going to take them and we're going to keep scoring until we make you quit. That's usually Oklahoma's method is, fine, we'll just keep throwing bombs. We'll score 50, 60 points. Sounds good to us. I don't know if they really can do that, though. Especially it'd be good to know the extent to which Casey's thumb is bothering him and why is he hitting shots against Oklahoma and not hitting them against TCU and Oklahoma State? Is it because he got cleaner looks against Oklahoma and he knew where to go? Is it because his thumb felt better? Is it because they didn't cover Worthy properly? I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the coming weeks, but they need to figure that out. And then on defense, I think they're playing a very difficult style of defense that's designed to stop points, designed to put a lot of pressure on the front six. And I think that it's just kind of a matter of getting better at it and finding the right pieces up front. Alfred Collins getting better with OB and Fortin. Maybe Jalen Ford. Well, certainly Jalen Ford is going to play a lot more. So I think, yeah, defensively, I think they can just keep aiming at their identity and getting closer to it. At this point, they might as well, because it's not like, you know, they're basically out of the Big 12 race at this point. Offensively, I think they have a few more questions to figure out about what exactly they want to do.
You know, do they have the personnel on offense and defense to do what they want to do, or do they need a little bit more in certain spots, in your opinion?
They do. They might on defense. I think next year they will, without too much adjustment. So they'll just get better. And some of these young guys will get better at the key spots. On offense, I do not think they can do what they want to do. They're not quite good enough on the offensive line to protect regularly on these shots they want to take. They do not have a pro-style passer. Or Casey Thompson is not that pro-style passer. We don't know if Card would provide an upgrade or not. We don't really know where he is in his development. We just have to defer to Sark that Casey's the best option right now. And they don't quite have enough good receivers yet either. You could really tell how badly they miss Jordan Whittington. One thing Casey Thompson can do is hit guys at the chains when they scheme up a guy to get open. And, you know, Joshua Moore is not going over the middle at 165 pounds and reliably bringing in slants. They needed Whittington for that, and they didn't have him, and it was plain how badly they missed it. So they need one more good tackle, probably. That's not going to happen this year. They need to get better at quarterback. They need a better fit at quarterback than Casey Thompson. And they need to keep adding more weapons at receiver to really, I mean, we knew they weren't Alabama, but they were very much not Alabama in the second half of that last game.
Yeah, that's truer words have never been spoken. All right, Ian, thank you for joining us. Ian Boyd, X's and O's expert of InsideTexas.com. If you're a Texas football fan, please consider subscribing to Inside Texas. If you're enjoying these episodes on YouTube, please consider subscribing. Hit the red button there that says subscribe to our YouTube channel. Ian, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.